Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing, and growing people.
Last week, Sarah did a sterling job of preaching at the beginning of this chapter, as Paul turns to the Corinthian church and starts talking about a very specific stewardship program. Another church, neighbouring church, was in need in Macedonia. In Jerusalem, and so he's going around collecting, taking up a collection to help support the Jerusalem church. And he begins his stewardship program in a very appropriate way. And Sarah did a great job at driving this home. If you've not listened to Sarah's sermon, if you weren't here last week and you've not listened to it, it is on our website. So do just click back and listen to it. She talked about joining in with these ripples of grace that come from God. And I say that Paul starts in an appropriate way, really because he's doing what I would do if I was running a stewardship program, which I am. That's fortunate. At Vision Sunday, I talked to you about not starting with the what questions. And I've been talking about this for the last 5 years of my time here. That so often it's the human instinct to ask, right, what? What do we do? That's the first question. When we're in a time of transition and change, we want to ask, what do we do? And I have, over the last 5 years here at St. Peter's, been trying to teach us that if we find ourselves starting with what, to actually pause and go to the question, why? The answer to the why questions gives whatever we do, and that may change, gives whatever we do energy, motivation, sustainable momentum. Okay? So the why is sort of like the engine that drives the vehicle. The what is the steering. There's no point in starting to steer in a direction as to what we're going to do or where we're going to go if you don't have any fuel in the engine. The why questions cause us to have, why are we going to move at all? What stirs in our hearts that makes us do anything? So the same is true here in this stewardship campaign of Paul, his collection for the Jerusalem church. He doesn't start by going to them and taxing them and just like going, what are you going to give? Well, you're going to give this amount and you're going to give regularly. You're going to give in this form, etc., etc. He doesn't ask and doesn't give them the answer to the what question. He starts with the Corinthian church as to why they should give at all. Why give? And Sarah, as I said, articulated this beautifully last week. The reason that Paul gives as to why the Corinthian church should give is because you have been blessed by a generous God through the person of Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor so that you might be rich. God has given from his grace to you all that you have, all that you are, and all that you can be is given to you, gift by God. And we should be like him. This is the way the world was created. And again, Sarah drove this home. This is the economy of the kingdom that God sets up and we should participate in. Not out of duty, not out of coercion or anything like that. We do it because this is how we were designed. God designed you and me to work within this economy, this way of living as kingdom people. So that's why, because this is natural for us. We are currently unnatural, and God is coming to correct it with natural. That is why we give, because we're designed to give, because we're made in the image of God who gives generously. Once he's got the why established, that's a good momentum, right? Well, I'd want to just add on, and again, Sarah hinted towards this. I want to drive this home. The reason that we give at St. Peter's is the reason we do anything, and it's found in our values, because we love. We value love. That's why we do anything because we've experienced God's love and we want to share it with others. So we give because we love. We love one another. We love our community. But ultimately, we love God. And so we want to be generous and want to be like him. We share because God has shared with us. We share with one another. So we give because we love and we share. We value seeking. Seeking the last, the least, and the lost. Because God seeks the last, the least, and the lost. And we were once those people. And he came looking for us. So we go looking for them. In order to bless them with good things. And finally, we do everything in prayer. Because God, through Jesus, prays for us and intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit prays within us, so we want to allow that Spirit to grow within us. And so we give, because when we pray, God blesses us, and we are called to bless others. And this is where I want to transition into the next question, which is not what, but how. How do we give? Last week, again, Sarah talked about those moments when she said, when we're washing up and a thought comes to mind, oh, I must get in touch with that person and bless them and ask how they're doing and connect with them because I love them and I want to share in their life. But so often we, after the washing's finished up, life gets in the way and we forget. Or when we're doing the washing up and we think, oh, that person, I'm going to send them a meal. I'm going to do this. And then we forget about it. Well, Paul touches on that very subject here in our passage today. He says, match that eagerness, that thought with action. When I was a teenager, a late teen, I was part of a friendship group. There was six or seven of us. And we would regularly have parties, usually for our birthdays or great celebrations, and we would spend it with one another, and it was, you know, like with friends. And there was one friend, he will remain nameless, that gives him away if he's listening. He was famous for not bringing presents, right? And not only did he not bring presents, but he pretended like he didn't know the reason we were gathering. So we would gather for a birthday and we'd all bring a present or a gift or even a bottle of wine or something like that. And we'd come, we'd give these presents or whatever it was to the person. And at this point, he would turn and go, oh, is it your birthday? And then he would say, oh, I haven't brought you a gift. Or I thought about giving you a gift. And he'd say, it's the thought that counts. And he did it so frequently that on one of his birthdays, when he had a party, we all communicated secretly behind him and said, let's none of us get him a present. And then just tell him what we thought about getting him, but we didn't in the end. And then say to him, it's the thought that counts, you know, revenge. I don't condone this as behaviour, by the way. But it's this sense in which the thought that counts sort of is okay-ish. But Paul says, no, the thought does not count. If you don't do anything about it, then it's sort of worthless. Just having a thought about it, yeah, that's good, but match your eagerness by doing something about it. So it may be that you have thought about, I don't know, offering your time to someone else in an act of love. But you've never quite plucked up the courage. You never quite, you know, moved on it. And you've sort of satisfied yourself going, yes, that sort of feels good. When I get the opportunity to, I'll do that. Well, I just want to repeat what Sarah said last week. Do it. Act on it. Move on it. It may be that you have thought many times coming in here, I really should be participating more, but I don't know what it is yet. I don't know what I should give, so I won't do anything. I want to encourage you. Step out. Do it. Whatever it is. Even if it's a small thing. Come talk to me. Talk to Michelle. Talk to Simon. Talk to anyone. And just say, I want to give something. I want to give because I love and I want to share and I want to participate in this family. I don't know what I'm going to give. Well, at this point in time, Paul hasn't specified to the Corinthian church what they should give. He's only told them why they should give. And now he talks about how you can give by doing it. But he uses the word eagerness. This is where it taps into what I said on Vision Sunday. He told us why we do things. Love, sharing, seeking out and praying. These are our values. But the words that we've ascribed to this, we value love without borders. Sharing without fear. Seeking with passion. Praying without ceasing. These are our values. So how? How do we do anything? And how do we give? Well, we give above and beyond, above the across borders. We reach out. We are the first to move. We don't wait to do anything. We love without borders. We don't mark out who's them and us. We don't do that here. We give almost recklessly, boldly, courageously. We share without fear. So we give fearlessly. So often the thing that stops us from giving is, but what happens if I have too little? What if when I give, I never get back? And then I'm just giving out. And it's a great cost. That's perfectly natural. We seek with passion. We give passionately. We pray without ceasing. So we give unceasingly. But to all of the fears that we might have, all those things that take away the passion, all the things that stop us, that cease our giving, I think it comes down to that emotional response. But what if I have nothing in the end? Well, this is how we do anything at St. Peter's. And what I've been driving home for 5 years is the strapline, as family, we go. And so, how do we give? As family, we give. We give together. We give mutually. We share. That means a give and a take. Again, Sarah touched on this last week. A gift can only be given if it is also received. And we gift one another with the receipt of gift, and we respond by giving back. As family, we give in order, as Paul says, that the one who had much did not have too much, and the one that had little did not have too little. It's a fair balance. If you have received from this church, or let me rephrase it, if you have received from God through this church, it is your turn to give. This sort of unreciprocated gift, this sense of, oh, I only give if I don't want to receive in return, is not really a godly thing. God is always about giving and receiving. It's these ripples. It's the you give because you have received. It is Eucharistic theology. God gives to us of his grace in order that we might give back to him our lives, our worship, our adoration. It's not a balanced gift. His grace is always more than we can give. But he still wants to see the joy of us giving back to him or giving to others. He gives to us that we might pass it on, either to others or back to him. As family, we give. We look after one another. We do it together. And we want to include others outside our community into this family. And so we give to them in order that they might come and give of themselves in community and in family. So Paul is building up to the statement of, right, so what exactly do the Corinthians give? Well, it's much easier to answer that question then, when you know why you want to give and how you're going to give. Suddenly, it doesn't matter what you give, whether it's time, money or energy. It doesn't matter. Because you're giving it with an intent, with a why, and you're giving it because you know how to give. Then the conversation about what opens up and it becomes a pleasure to explore. A member of our congregation at the end of last week approached me with their sign-up form and they said to me, I know that I want to give, but I don't exactly know what. That is great boldness. That was fearless. That was passionate. That's an unceasing act of generosity, even though they don't know what they're exactly giving at this point in time. But it's a great start. I encourage you, if you are holding back because you don't know what exactly you want to give, ask yourself why you'd want to give at all and read 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you sort of know why but you don't know how you want to give, read 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And then come and talk to me or Michelle or Simon or whoever and just say, I know why I want to give. I know how I want to give. I don't quite know what I'm going to give. Next week, we'll talk a little bit about what we might give. There's already some suggestions, again, on the commitment forms at the back. We, as a PCC, have been going through and asking ourselves these questions. And we've come up with a list of things, mission action priorities, things that we want to give our time, money and energy to. And maybe reading that, you kind of go, yes, that is what I want to give to. That's what I want to invest in. That's what God is calling me to. Great. Tick the form, hand it in. We will work with you as a family. And we will help you to give fair balance to it. But it may be that there's something else. Something personal for you that you want to give. It might be that there is a financial gift that you want to pay towards something that you've gone, you've looked around and you've seen a need and you go, do you know what? Because I love and I want to share and I've been seeking after God and I've been praying and I know that we're a family, so I would like to gift this family with light bulbs, whatever. That's just plucked out of my head. We don't need light bulbs, but if you want to give light bulbs, we'll receive it. That's fine. But do you know what I mean? You go through that process and you've seen something. Welcome. Give. Because you give a part of the family. So we're going to pray. We're going to enter into a time of response. I haven't told you what I or we as a family need. I've not told you what you should give. But I hope that during this, God might speak to you. That he might give you some clarity as to what you will give, what he's asking from you. But first, let's just bring before God all those things that we might fear. Maybe we don't feel relationship. Maybe we don't feel part of this family. Maybe that's part of the problem. It was part of the problem in Corinth and Jerusalem. There was a breakup that you heard in the passage Paul talks about. A year ago, you wanted to give. Well, now, a year later, give. During that year, there was a big sort of disagreement between the Jerusalem church and the Corinthian church. That would stop anyone from giving. Well, if they don't love me, then I'm not going to give. You know, that's perfectly normal human behaviour. Well, let's just name that before God and confess it. Confess that there's been breakdowns of relationship. We accept that. He accepts that. Let's ask for healing in that. So let's just be quiet and to open in prayer. Bringing all that you've heard and things that are beginning to stir in your hearts. Just spend some time listening and holding that. What is God saying to you today? Maybe the values of this church are a hope rather than a reality. Name that before God. Maybe you're feeling convicted that you've enjoyed the gift and generosity of others, and you don't feel like you've quite participated in that relationship of mutual sharing. As a way of joining together and knowing that, hey, we're all on a journey in this. None of us have reached the ultimate destination. There's always work that God needs to do in us. We're going to just speak out some prayer. It's a very simple prayer that you can join in, just as a sense in which you encourage others to say, hey, I'm no perfect saint here. I'm learning too. Let's confess together where we have fallen short. Lord, when we hold on to your grace rather than share it, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, for our lack of appreciation of all that you have done, Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, for the inequality of our sharing, Lord, have mercy.